starting with understanding exactly what problem you're trying to solve and then really stress test your solutions before going all in, I think will really just help increase your success tenfold.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and today I have a conversation with my friend, Tara Torres. Tara is the Director of Talent Acquisition for Casa Living. Tara, welcome to the show. Great to see you again.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Let's get started and kind of let's talk about your background. Share, if you wouldn't mind, kind of how you got started in talent, which is always an interesting story, as well as some of the roles that you've had leading up to your current role at Casa Living.
Sure. Absolutely. It's not an unfamiliar tale to most, right? Most people that end up in recruiting don't set out to be there necessarily. So I, like most, fell into that by accident. Started out on the agency side when I was in college. I actually changed my major to HR management after having that experience. And then shortly before I graduated, moved into recruiting in financial services and was on the delivery side of recruiting, both as an individual contributor and as a recruiting manager for several years, and then started making the transition more into the recruiting operations side, which at the time was sort of a new emerging space, thinking about all of the processes, tools, technology, policies, procedures, and enablement that you could do to help the recruiting engine function in the most efficient and effective way possible. And so I did that for the better part of 10 plus years, held a global role leading that function at Wells Fargo. I also spent some time on the technology side supporting global recruiting as a client at JPMorgan Chase. And then I decided I wanted to break out from financial services and really differentiate my industry experience. So went over to Amazon and functioned in sort of an individual contributor product program manager role for their largest worldwide operations line of business, and then moved into an experimental program focused on centralized software development engineer hiring. And Amazon was a great experience, definitely taught me a lot about leading with data and how to write a good old white paper. And then went over to Stripe for a bit, put in some foundational processes and started to work on some system integration, but ultimately landed at Casa, which gives me the opportunity to sort of bring together my delivery side of recruiting experience with my recruiting operations experience and sort of the whole thing end to end. So starting out at Casa, I focused on putting together like a capacity plan, working on workforce plan and having a bit more of a deliberate approach to recruiting. Again, getting some of those foundational processes in place and thinning out the tech stack a little bit so that we had a more fungible set of tools and we're fully leveraging the automation. And so that kind of brings us to current day.
Yeah, that's great. Really impressive background. You and I have known each other for a while. I think we connected back in the days when you were at Wells Fargo, I believe. And so I love your background. I've always enjoyed our conversations. Really cool. Between, you know, starting out on the agency, going into recruiting operations and figuring out the operational aspects of it, and then moving over to delivery for a little bit. A lot of very big brands, obviously, in your background with Wells Fargo, JP Morgan, Amazon, even Stripe is a very recognizable larger organization. And then now, as we talked about it, going into a little bit smaller organization, but you have responsibility for everything. Talk about that transition from the larger organization to Casa, and then maybe play on that to help everyone understand a little bit around the scope of your role and your team and things.
Absolutely. So Casa largely operates in the US. although we do hiring in the Philippines and Hungary as well. So it gave me the opportunity to maintain sort of that global set of responsibilities, but was largely a clean slate, which was really what attracted me to it. I'm sort of a builder. And so I really appreciate coming in and sort of assessing the landscape of where things are at. And then when that slate, that canvas is pretty open, there's a lot of runway. So it was definitely what attracted me to CASA. And I sort of continually crave new experiences. So I moved out of financial services into like the tech side. And this was an opportunity for me to like work in a much smaller organization and just get a sense for having less bureaucracy and more control over decision-making and being able to drive work through and over the finish line. And I would certainly say that CASA has definitely given me that opportunity. I mean, you have much more closer and direct access to the senior leaders in the organization. I think much more appetite and openness to experiment and try things, see if they work and see if they don't work. So, you know, I would say that's really great. I think the one consideration, and you and I even talked about this when you were advising me in my career search, was making a case for technology can be rather difficult because you don't have the scale and the volume to justify an investment in a lot of cases. So at times you're having to work in a more manual way, as optimally as you can, but certainly in the absence of technology until you get to that scale where you can justify the investment. And it's a trade-off of something that you have to think about when you're making a move to a smaller organization. But it's been a really good experience for me. I think put me in a position where I can share the benefit of my experience in some of these larger organizations, but I'm also getting a much more rich and intimate understanding of the business operations here, how we make money, how I can contribute to not only saving money in the organization, but participating in how we grow the operation. And that's a pretty exciting place to be.
That's definitely exciting. And your point around autonomy and ability to have direct access to senior level leaders very regularly, all of those types of things help develop from a business acumen and business leadership perspective, for sure. The struggle is real for the smaller businesses, or until you get up to that in excess of 1,000 hires kind of thing, it gets really difficult navigating the tech ecosystem and finding solutions with the right capabilities to deliver on your needs. Seems like everybody in the space is constantly trying to go upmarket into mid to enterprise types of deals all the time. I mean, that's all their focus. And so it's tough, but you've been able to navigate that pretty well and do some good things. So that's great. I love how you shared already a little bit around kind of the foundation that you've laid in very early stages here. So if you wouldn't mind, maybe talk a little bit more about some of those things, and then we can lead into from there, like what's on the horizon for you going into 2023 here.
I think the biggest thing for me when I came in was once I got a lay of the land of what the tech stack was, where we had gaps and duplication and frankly, waste, we were able to then start to work towards that standard baseline process, which allowed us to then take advantage of basic automation that existed even in the ATS that we weren't taking advantage of. So, you know, really the better part of last year, in addition to growing the organization pretty sizably from a recruiting standpoint, we spent a lot of time just documenting our core processes from the start of when a requisition is opened all the way through to close. And doing that in a pretty detailed way, not just what systems were being used, but who was doing the work, what tools and technology were being used at that point in time. And then again, finding ways and opportunities to automate steps and stages. And then that allowed me to, towards the end of this past year, to really start building out success metrics, time and stage, you know, looking at the candidate experience in a more definitive way. We use TalentWall, and that's a really valuable resource to be able to see our candidates moving through the pipeline in a reasonable way, and are they meeting our SLAs? And then if not, you can like deep dive into a particular process area and or department and figure out why is that happening. So being on that standard process opens up the door to be able to look at data and manage your function as a business in a way that is, I think, more impactful.
Yeah, that's really great. I appreciate you sharing on kind of how you went in and looked at identifying waste and pockets of inefficiency that you could look at some very easy automation, as well as it's a classic situation. I engage with clients all the time. We're like, oh, we want to look at these six technologies to add to our tech stack. And now I start like, okay, what problem are we trying to solve? Why are we trying to solve that problem? What are you doing today? Invariably, it's easy for us as TA leaders to be like, I need to just look at what's next kind of thing. And then it's hard to take a look back and like, what exactly are we doing? And trying to optimize what we have first. So that's good discipline on your part to be able to do that and really say, all right, how do we optimize what we have? How do we look at simple automation and get this to an optimized current state and then start looking to build off of that? So great job there. So what do you see now as you look at recruiting as a whole? So maybe even outside of CASA, knowing where you're going to go next, what interests you? What areas are you excited about as far as innovation that's occurring kind of in the profession?
I think everybody has a bit of a different opinion on where we sit from an economic standpoint, but without question, especially in the technology sector, you're seeing organizations constrict. And when that happens, there is going to be a need to figure out how you get the same or more output with fewer resources. So the buzzwords of AI and repeat process automation and those sorts of things, again, that could be a whole webcast in and of itself, defining those and how people are using them. But ultimately, finding a way to automate aspects of the process, I think, will continue to be sort of a focus going into next year. And I think there's a lot of really exciting tools on the market to do that. But I also think when you're in a technology organization, there's probably people that sit in your space that could help you with some pretty basic things that you're not even thinking about doing right now, even with Slack as an example, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of micro steps and processes that can probably be automated with what's already in your tech stack more broadly in your company. So I think people are going to start to look more at those things, not to suggest that people will stop investing in tools, but I think that there's going to be an opportunity for people to really look at how we get creative with what we have and really only invest in those must-have, true game-changing solutions. I just came back from the Aptitude Research Executive Roundtable last week. Skills is also a big topic. It's a very broad term, and I think in some senses, a rebirth of the competency models. And ultimately, really comes down to how are you making sure that the people that you're hiring into the organization are the right people, sort of the right people in the right jobs at the right time. So I think at CASA, we'll be exploring that in some degree, trying to do it in a bit more bite-sized pieces in a more experimental fashion. So we don't try to boil the ocean, so to speak, so quickly, but I think could be a really valuable exercise to really refocus to make sure that there's calibration in what talent looks like for us, how we make that selection decision, how we're transparent about expectations around what the job will do, and then how we embed that into the full employee life cycle throughout. And I think lastly, we talked a little earlier about really focusing on how do we quantify the business outcomes of what a recruiting function, a people ops function, an HR function can really contribute. And I think, you know, there are some really obvious ways. Cost per hire, as an example, is one. But I think personally focused on really finding, without having 6 degrees of separation, how do we come up with some of those tangible metrics that really speak to outputs that can directly impact business outcomes, as opposed to just outcomes for the function. Haven't cracked that nut yet and would love some thought partnership on it if anybody's open to it. But those are some of the things that I'm thinking about for next year.
Yeah, those are great. Thanks for sharing all of those. Big fan of the team at Aptitude Research. I think Madeline, team, and Kyle, they're doing really cool things and a lot of respect for them. So I'm glad you got to meet in person, which is always great. It was a great event. So working through some of what you talked about, I think we're definitely facing some headwinds and challenges. Through the greatest challenges, the greatest opportunities come, right? And it's a good opportunity for people to buckle down, really take a look at what they're doing, why they're doing it, what the true business needs are. How do you meet those? How do you optimize the function to deliver what the business needs in this type of environment? So I think it's still a great opportunity for leaders like yourself. I like what you talked about around process automation. There's still a tremendous amount of waste in the function everywhere you go, where there's opportunities to improve the experience, to optimize the value that your teams are delivering, to take transactions off their plate. All of those types of things are really rewarding. The skills piece we talked earlier is, it's interesting. I'm cautiously optimistic about
skeptical.
It.
Skeptical.
Yeah. It's the operational weight of actually moving forward with that and the change management required to successfully navigate that to an actual culturally accepted business norm is that's a lot of work. And hopefully organizations are able to execute that. But also on the other side, I hope they really respect the amount of work, what it's going to take to get out the other side. So yeah, you're doing some really cool things and thinking about some great things. So I knew that would be the case before when we booked this. That's great. Last question for you, Tara, is if you wouldn't mind, just share some advice for the audience, for others in the TA profession. What's some advice that you've received or that you would give or things that you've learned that you think would be really valuable for the audience?
I mean, there's so much. When you think over the course of your career, there's always people that have been impactful in small ways or really meaningful ways that have left an impression on you. I think that there's two areas that sort of come to mind. The first one is just leadership in general. I think in some organizations, there's this whole idea of this proverbial seat at the table. And I don't think you have to be invited to contribute. I think there's ways to contribute, especially when you've done your homework and you're taking the time to really understand and speak to it from a business standpoint and not just in HR speak. And I think it's a work in progress for most of us. I was by no means saying that I have the nut cracked on that, but I think that it is important to make it your business, to understand the business that you work in, and to think of yourself as a member of that senior leadership team in the way you contribute and the way that you make suggestions for how the business moves forward. And I think that's really important from a leadership perspective and to build that thinking within your own team as well and the people that work for you and give them enough at-bats to have the opportunity to explore that. And then I think secondarily, I'm somewhat of a linear thinker, and I do like to kind of work backwards from the problem statement. And I think that's served me well. And so I would definitely recommend for people that are embracing, tackling transformational work efforts, or even just light process reengineering, making sure that you know what problem it is that you're trying to solve before starting the work. And that you future-proof and test your proposed solutions before getting all the way out there. I've certainly made mistakes in my career where you kind of go all in on something and recognize that there's things that you couldn't look around the corner and see were coming without having tested it. And I also think it helps get buy-in with some of your more difficult customers who think that maybe they're the special snowflakes and this thing that HR recruiting is trying to force on them isn't going to work. But if you're testing it with other influential departments and business leaders, they become more open to the idea. And it does help with the adoption and change management. So starting with understanding exactly what problem you're trying to solve and then really stress test your solutions before going all in, I think will really just help increase your success tenfold.
Yeah, that is excellent, excellent advice. So thank you very much for sharing. I appreciate you coming on the show, sharing your knowledge and experience with the audience. So Tara, really appreciate you. Thanks a lot. You did a great job.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.